Tell me about this big tower here. It has a name on it, Fauché or something. What is that big tower in Minneapolis?
That's a landmark representing a lot of heartache and heartbreak during the Depression. This man Fauché, now what little I know about it, went bankrupt building the tower, and through some other kinds of dealings, he ran into some difficulties. But that's named after a Mr. Fauché. The figures, doesn't it?
That's very good.
But it's a unique tower, isn't it?
It certainly is. And he is now a famous Minneapolitan? How do you say that?
He passed away, didn't he?
I had heard that he had recently. He was living out west somewhere, wasn't he?
Oh. No, I see. Well, the reason I asked you was that when I first came back to Minneapolis last Friday, somebody said, "We've been trying to figure out a way to get that name off the top of the building." Mm-hmm. And I remarked facetiously that for a fee, I would take it off for them. But there were no takers.
You'll probably notice it looks a lot like the Washington Monument, Arthur.
Right. Like the base of it.
Yeah.
Yes, like the base of the monument. It's very tall. I suppose a couple hundred feet, huh?
Yes, I think it's about 33 stories.
How tall?
33 stories.
33 stories. Well, it's an imposing thing. You can see it from way out on the approach to the airport. You'll see how pretty this place looks from the air. You have, of course. You're a pilot, you know. You guys ever fly, Raj?
No, I don't fly myself. My brother has a plane. He lives in Michigan, and he's...
This is the country for seaplanes up here. Yeah, yes. The lakes. My. Our producer, Ted Bergman, is a great seaplane fan. He's got one. He would love it up here. Do you do any flying, Pat?
No, never.
Pity.
I'm an old tower operator, Arthur, and that's why I'm not a tower operator anymore, because of Teterboro, and I was at Mitchell Field for a couple of years.
Oh, you don't want to get buzzed, huh?
Don't want to get buzzed.
No guts. Well, where were you the tower operator?
Mitchell Field in New York.
In New York.
Mm-hmm.
That's about 20 miles, 25 miles airline from Teterboro, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you and that tower came as close to getting buzzed that day as the boys in Teterboro. Just about that close. If you had been in that tower that day working. But the newspapers had a lot of fun with it, didn't they?
Sure do.
And we made a lot of money out of it because we made a record called Piper 202. Teeter Tower, this is Piper 202.
Are they still printing that record? You know, I played it twice this morning. Twice, what morning was it? Well, Friday morning.
You could have done it today, too, you know, if anybody, you know, if you'd been a nice fella, you could have played it today.
Five or six times.
Well, I will. I'll play it Tuesday and Wednesday. But when I figured you were coming in.
Oh.
I played it and had some calls for it, and if the record's available, why, you'll sell another million copies.
Well, good, because it's a lot of fun, that record. Johnny Parker made it with me. He's the feller in the tower. You remember on the record, the tower answers me?
Yes, yes.
He's the, Johnny Parker is the...
He sounded a little like Richard Hayes this morning.
Oh, that's when he does the grandpa voice. He sounds old like Richard.
He's not really. I object.
I never met Richard. What do you look like, Arthur?
Richard Hayes? Oh, he's a nice-looking boy. Trouble with him is he's too young.
I'm aging rapidly, though. You know, you were talking about that morning stint. I just finished that over...
That's right.
For Jack.
He took over for Jack Sterling in New York for... How long was it, Dick?
About 2.5 weeks. And I got up at 4 o'clock every morning, whether I wanted to or not.
That'll make an old man out of you.
Yeah, right? You ought to see me. I'm sorry we didn't have a pretty girl in the lobby, you know, waiting for the people to come in.
Yeah,
they have
these fellas at CCO here. Why?
They have a guard there, you know, in our lobby. It's about 9.
Yeah, he's a handsome thing, isn't he?
He's an attractive fellow, yes. We had 4:30 in the morning, I'd come in, and we'd do some push-ups together.
Little handball.
And we got real friendly. Let me play with a service pistol once.
Oh, great. Boy, if they had Pat Larson in that lobby waiting in the morning, I'd be there all night waiting to greet her.
That's show business.
Yeah. You had to be there.
You had to be there.
Have a product called Keen. You know about it, you folks? Keen, K-E-E-N. It's a soft drink for the kids. Comes in a jar, and you mix it with water. You don't have to buy bottles anymore. Don't cart them around. It has a lot of vitamin C in it, and it tastes good. It's non-carbonated. The kids can have all they want without taking off and going into orbit. Keen. It takes a little glass of water, some Keen, K-E-E-N, some stirring, and some ice, and that's all there is to it. They have 5 flavors. Orange, imitation grape. How do you imitate a grape?
Squeeze me and I'll show you.
Oh.
He's pretty fast.
Cherry, lemon, and Tahiti punch. Tahiti punch, oh boy. The kids say it's Keen, and it is. And you don't have to cart the bottles around. A thrifty jar of it will serve an army of 15 kids at half the cost of bottled soft drinks. Will you try it? K-E-E-N, Keen. It's very good. Tell me this, is it true, Howard Viking, that if you live in Minneapolis, you don't speak to St. Paul?
No, sir.
That's not true.
No, sir.
How did such a legend get started?
What was the question?
Will you come in and sign in, please?
Actually, it used to be true, didn't it, Howard? There used to be a rivalry, but...
Somebody from Duluth started that.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
But they've combined on a lot of civic achievements now that have melded the two towns. The coming of the Minnesota Twins baseball team, Minnesota Vikings football team, and the Guthrie Theater. They like to think of it as an entire community thing rather than two towns.
What's the population around here of the two cities together?
A couple of million.
Yeah, about 2 million. Our listening area, we say, is about 3 million. About 3 million.
You reach out quite a ways.
We do.
Too. Yes. Not too long ago, this station came in on my little radio in the automobile down in the hills in Virginia. I don't know why it is, but I guess the receivers are better than they used to be. But now you can get the darnest things on your automobile radio. You ever notice that?
Yeah. At night, we're a clear channel, Arthur, so people all over the country pick us up.
Oh, well, that's the answer to that.
California to New York.
How many watts?
50,000.
Oh, boy. Yeah, clear channel, 50,000 watts. You can be heard anywhere. You on the air 24 hours a day?
24.
Mm-hmm. Arthur, have you met Harry Reasoner?
Oh, yes.
Well, he started with us about 15 years ago, and now he's doing great guns for CBS radio and television in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And just last Friday morning, for our anniversary celebration, he phoned in, he taped in a recorded message to all of us here congratulating WCCO Radio on its anniversary and all. Then 15 years ago, when I was the early morning man, I used to get down there on time most of the time. He was just starting out then.
Show off.
He was down there about 5 o'clock, but when he was late, then I would broadcast when he was late and how much. So then Harry Reasoner chided me last Friday morning for that. He was a great guy.
Did you have a little feud going together, a little friendly feud?
Friendly, yeah.
I used to do that with the late Arch McDonald in Washington. Oh, we had such a time. I had an early morning show called The Sundial, and that was signed on the station. And then I had a late one called The Moondial, with which we signed off the station. And after a while, that got to be too much. So I asked Arch to take The Moondial for me, which he did, and we started this little feud. He would play my records with a hole punched in it off-center. Things like that.
Yeah.
You know, here's the latest Godfrey record. And it ain't bad enough for the voice to be like it is without being off-center, you know. And we had such things as, lay my head beneath a rose. And that's the way it would sound on that. They're not that good. So I got even with him when he was in the other studio. I'd have a mic. The engineer would hook me up a mic and then, while he was doing a ball game. And in between, he'd say, Cronin's on first. I'd go, and he'd say, on first base, S is on after each S he made, I would whistle. And people would call up the station and say, get that drunken bum off of there. Oh, we had more fun. Hey, Lysol is back with us again. The spray. Oh, this is a marvelous thing for spray in the rooms and the closets and the clothing. This is not just one of those so-called room deodorizers that just hides odors with some other perfume. Lysol spray actually seeks out the odors in the air and kills them. Lysol spray kills cooking odors, smoking odors, most household odors that can be found in your home or in mine. And in my house, you can smell some funny ones sometimes. We live on a farm, you see. Lysol spray freshens the air, too, leaves no after scent. With Lysol spray, there's never any perfumey cover-up fragrance. And it helps protect your home from household germs that bring on illnesses and lingering odors, you know. In the shower, for example, Lysol spray effectively fights the fungus that causes athlete's foot. Why don't you take a look in the shower and see if there's a fungus among us? You'd be surprised. There may be a few fungi around there. And what you need to do is spray it with Lysol in the empty laundry hamper, on the bathroom floor, in the diaper pail. Be sure you put it in the pail now, not on the diaper. In the garbage can. Where do you keep your pet? Spray it on his area. On his area, yes. Lysol spray can bring a breath of fresh air to every room in your house. I'd like to spray the studio with it. Well, we need it down there, you know. We have what we call air conditioning. Oh, brother, air conditioning.
Now, brr.
How's it go, Carol?
Brr.
Brr. Well, when 10 or 12 people get to smoking those pipes, cigars, cigarettes, socks, whatever it is, boy, it gets pretty sad in there with this air conditioning. But, gee, you certainly do have a beautiful, wide-open, clean city here in Minneapolis. Your streets are so wide and clean-looking. That isn't just because you had a big rain last Thursday.
That'll clean up a city, wouldn't it?
You didn't have a rain here last Thursday, was it? Yeah, you had a bag on.
Yeah, last year it did. Yeah.
Cool. Is that why it's so clean looking, or is it always like
always
that?
Always clean.
Always.
Yeah.
We'd love it. And 3 million people around here. It's a great farming area, but here in Minneapolis, you make machinery, farm machinery.
Electronics. Scotch tape.
That's right, Minnesota Mining, yes.
St. Paul, Arthur, Honeywell.
Remember Pillsbury? Right over there.
Uh-huh.
General Mills.
What are those big barges going up and down the Mississippi? What are they carrying, ore? Those ore boats from Duluth?
I think ore and mostly petroleum, either oil or gasoline.
Uh-huh. I was wondering, you come up, but when you fly in here, you know, you come up the Mississippi quite a ways, coming from the east, and it's watching all those barges, and I didn't realize that Mississippi was navigable all the way up here, but it is.
Oh, yes, a lot of barge traffic along the Mississippi and up the St. Croix, which also is a beautiful river.
Is it a branch of the Mississippi? Does it flow
flows into the Mississippi?
Yes, yes.
Beautiful.
Oh, you have the most wonderful country, and all those lakes are full of fish, aren't they?
And how?
All 10,000 of them.
They gotta be. I never catch any.
Do you do the ice fishing?
Yes.
That must be fun.
Haven't you tried that, Arthur? Ice fishing?
No, but I'm just gonna ask Pat, if I come back here in the winter, will she go in the igloo with me and do some ice fishing?
Yes.
Sounds mighty eager to me.
She is.
You and I, when I hear Grandpa back there, Charlie and I do a couple of grandpas on our show every once in a while.
Well, get in with him. Come on.
Well, yeah, sure. Old, I'm so old now, I'm beginning to pay more attention to the food than the waitresses.
Well, you're a swinger, all right.
Yeah. I like to think about those old days, too. I remember those days when the only problem about parking was getting the girl to agree to it.
They're all old and they forget, Johnny.
40 years old.
Well, take good care of yourselves. It's been a lot of fun. I want to come back here again very soon. Thank you, Pat, and Howard, and Raj, and Charlie, and Carol, and Richard, and Johnny Parker.
Right.
Try to remember long enough to play the theme, huh?
Right.
We've had a wonderful time. We hope you have, too. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Did you know you could shop Donaldson's Golden Rule 24 hours a day? Call 336-8855. That's Donaldson's Golden Rule order board, open 24 hours a day except Sunday.
The CCO temperature in the Twin Cities has crept up a couple of degrees in the Twin Cities. In the last hour, it's now 50. It's still windy from the west-northwest, 17 miles per hour, and the skies are clear, and the time's 11 o'clock, and the CBS News is next. Your one vote does count. Mankato's last election for state representative resulted in a tie. One vote would have settled it. Register tomorrow, vote November 3rd. Studio, St. Paul, Minneapolis, 830-WCCO.
Radio news at this hour, reported by CBS News and this CBS Radio network station. Britain and the United States have sent a new note of protest to Russia because their military attachés were subjected to a search by Russian secret agents in Siberia last week. The Russians say they will not go along with any treaty banning the spread of nuclear weapons unless we give up the project of a multinational nuclear force.